we'll continue our discussion about hope. And this morning, we're going to focus on how we can, as we're experiencing hope, how we can embrace a lot of other ideas that are bound up in the way that we live, in the hope that we have in God. So today we're going to do that, and we're going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter at verse 3. And here in Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul will talk about different aspects of our life, and in particular, he'll talk about faith, love, and hope, and how we can blend these three things together. So let's read 1 Thessalonians 1 at verse 3. Paul is talking about the Thessalonians, and he says, "We remember before our God and Father your work, produced by faith, your labor that's prompted by love, and your endurance that's inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. We know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy that's given by the Holy Spirit." It's an interesting passage, and Paul doesn't let any one aspect of his relationship with God overshadow other aspects of his relationship. He talks about faith. He said it's this faith that has yielded work. He talked about their love, and he says that's what drives your labor. And he talks about hope and how hope sustains them and gives them endurance in everything that we're doing. If you become overly concerned with only one aspect of this, then your life gets distorted and you're weakened. I was reading recently about people who had blowouts on their tires. And one of the people that was writing said, "I should have noticed that I was about to have a blowout because I had this little bulge on the side of my tire. And if I just paid attention, this one little part of my tire had started to get out of shape. And it just blew the whole thing apart." So you can't let any one part of your life with God overshadow the other parts of your life. So we're going to talk about faith, we're going to talk about love, and we're going to talk about hope. And as is usually the case, I start putting this together and I would run way over time if I talked about all three of them today. So we're going to talk today about faith, how faith yields work. We work from our salvation, not for our salvation. You know, I wish I'd penned that sentence. I didn't. I lifted it from somebody else. But it is an amazing statement. We work from salvation. We don't work for salvation. And Ephesians, the second chapter, beginning at verse 8, describes this progression. He says, "It is by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no man can boast. For he says, we are God's handiwork. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Nothing I could do could ever earn my salvation. I've made a mess out of my life. I was the rankest of sinners. And nothing I could do could correct that. The thing that you learn about sin when you get involved with sin is that it's kind of like you're ripping a feather pillow apart. Then you're having a pillow fight with it, and the air is filled with all of these feathers. And then you're trying to put them all back into the pillowcase. It can't be done. You can't fix it. Now, David told a woman in the Old Testament, we're like water spilled out on the ground. It can't be gathered up. Nothing I could do could ever correct or make right all of the sin that I had committed. I need God's grace to do that. But once I've been saved, I'm saved not just because God wants to correct all of the things that happened in my life. I'm saved because God wants to create in me a new creature who can do some good things. And when we're made new creatures by baptism into Jesus, we get a new life. That's what Titus read. Paul sent him this letter, and this is what it says in the third chapter of that letter. At one time, we too were foolish. We were disobedient. We were deceived, and we were enslaved by all kinds of passions and desires, or passions and pleasures, he says here. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. That's baptism. He says, this is the Holy Spirit that he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. When we become Jesus, when we put him on in baptism, we enjoy salvation. He saved us. We didn't save ourselves. And then he says something really important. The Holy Spirit that we were given at salvation, at baptism, works within us to complete this transformation from a person who is hated and hates to a person who is completely different. Look at a little bit of what the apostles have written about what the Spirit does within us. This is 1 Corinthians 3 at chapter 1 at verse 18. He says, do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you're wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. Now, he'll explain that. That's kind of an enigmatic statement, but he'll explain it a little bit more completely in Philippians, the second chapter. He said to the Philippians at verse 13, well, beginning at verse 12, he said, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. an amazing statement. The Spirit works in our lives to complete that transformation that began. Well, it begins and it's complete, but it still needs to be worked out in our life. 2 Timothy, the first chapter, at verse 13, he says, "What you've heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." So the Spirit's working. It's enabling us to do the kinds of things that we need to do. We couldn't do that on our own. We need His strength. We needed His strength to become saved, and we need His strength to work out our salvation. Our works grow out of this transformation. And you can't get those kinds of works unless there's been this transformation. Look at Galatians, the fifth chapter, beginning at verse 22. He says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." You're not going to find those things without sanctification. You're not going to find those things without putting on Christ, without letting the Spirit operate within you. You'll find something that you think looks like peace, but it's not peace. You'll find something that you think looks like kindness, but it's not kindness. You can't find these things unless the Spirit is in you. He says, against these things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and desires. That's why you can't find peace until you crucify self. Peace cannot come to someone who is consumed by his own selfish passion. This is what he says in conclusion. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Do what the Spirit is enabling you to do. You know, James said, your works, the things that you do, are evidence of your faith. Look at James 2 at verse 17. Faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds. And James says, I'll show you my faith by my deeds. It's the evidence of our faith. You believe that there's one God. Good. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. The fact is that we become slaves of, or servants of, righteousness when we're freed from the brute passions that used to control us. Genuine faith always obeys God, because it recognizes that Jesus is Lord. Jesus has the right to expect our obedience, because He's made us new creatures so that we can do those things. Look at Colossians, the third chapter, verse 16 or 15 beginning. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since, as members of one body, you were called to peace. Be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with grace in your hearts. Whatever you do, this is the broadest of statements. This is your whole life. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Christians have put on Christ. They acknowledge Jesus as Lord of their life. And because of that, they do what he wants them to do. It's just that simple. Think for just a minute where the brute passions and the way that you used to live was going to take you. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. This is what the apostle says in Romans 6. He asks this question. What benefit did you reap at the time from those things that you're now ashamed of? Those things result in death. They always do. Now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit that you reap leads to holiness and the result, eternal life. Dr. Phil's fond of saying, how's that working for you? And there's some validity to that. How's that working for you? Now, I think he leaves God out of the equation. But that's an important question. You go out and get drunk on Friday night and you wreck your car. How's that working for you? Is that a good idea? And you know, you don't have to do anything more than ask that question. It's always going to be that way. But we can know that there's something better. Now, next week, we're going to continue this. And we'll talk about how we work prompted by love. And then we'll conclude. We'll talk about hope makes it possible for us to endure, to sustain this kind of activity, this kind of life. We want you to think about that. It may be that you haven't put on Christ in baptism and you need to do that this morning. If that's your desire, we'll help you. We can baptize you today, right now. It may be that you've not lived as Jesus would have you to live, and you need to return to him. We'll pray with you. James says, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But we want you to let us know that we can help.